Let's turn over to Colossians 1:27. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, but I want to spend some more time here. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. Let's go back. We read this way last time, but let's read in verse 24. Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, and that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Thank God, Christ in us, the presence of Almighty God in us, being aware that Christ is with us, that the Spirit of the living God is in us and with us at all times. That is so central to us walking a victorious Christian life and walking the way we ought to walk. If we'll get a hold of that, and we mentioned some of these things, but I want to spend some time and go a little further. But this is central. If we would really get a hold of it, all of us, to the degree that we get a hold of it, that we believe, we are aware that the Spirit of the living God is in us at all times, and that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are righteous, that everything is done in Him, so that no matter the way we walk, not that we want to sin, but that sin is not the principal issue now in the new covenant. Sin has been dealt with. We should be righteousness conscious. We should be the conscious of the fact that Christ is in us. Not, oh, I blew it here, or I blew it here, or how's my performance doing, and what can I expect from God because of my performance? See, that's an old covenant way of looking at everything. In the new covenant, Jesus, God through Christ, through Jesus, put us back to the way we were in the garden. There was nothing between us and Him. And through Christ, He's put us all back to that place where we're righteous. We don't have to constantly be looking at our performance. The more you look at your performance, the worse it gets. When you focus on some flaw of your spouse, the bigger it gets. Or the flaw of your employer, the bigger it gets. When you focus on something you're doing wrong, the more you try to not do it, the harder it is to not do it. But when you're just looking at Jesus, it'd be like this. If you're in a room full of you know, your people, that your peers or employers, whatever the circumstance is, and you don't feel like they esteem you, you don't feel like they look upon you favorably, and there's something that you feel is in your, you know, maybe you use a certain word too much, or you did, or you heard somebody mention something about some flaw of yours, and now you're in a room full of a bunch of people, and you know they're aware of it. And so the more you focus on trying not to do that, the worse it gets, the more apt you are to do that. The more you try to make a good impression, the worse impression you make. But if you believe everybody in the room is for you, if you know that you've already, you know, people have already accepted you, people have already, you know, they already believe in you, you're free. Your focus isn't on you anymore. It's on doing whatever you're there to do. And suddenly your performance goes up. Because you're not focusing on me. You're focusing on doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's the same way with us in walking this Christian life. If we get sidetracked onto how we're doing things and how well we're doing it, we do it worse. We're not looking where we're going. We're not living life. We're looking at all this internal stuff. We're self-conscious. We're sin-conscious. That's not why Christ came. He came to set us free from all that so we could be Jesus-conscious, so we could go about doing what we're called to do, because we're not looking at ourselves. We're looking at Him. And when we get a hold of the fact that we're righteous, The righteousness of God cannot be tainted by... See, there's two kinds of righteousness. There's your righteousness that comes by the law. And there's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your righteousness, you... The day-to-day performance fluctuates. And if your expectation of what you're going to receive from God is based on that, or you're looking to that, your expectation's going to go up and down. Because do I really believe that I can receive today? Because, you know, I've been good or bad, or I've really read my Bible or not really. See, that goes up and down. I don't care who you are. It's not a straight line. It might be more straight than other people, but it's not completely straight. So, but when we get it to where our expectation is based on the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness, that is straight as an arrow. It never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. It's perfect. He's the perfect sacrifice. Our blessings and everything we receive is based on His sacrifice, and it's perfect. It never changes. And so when we get a hold of that and believe that and know that He is in us, that He is for us, that the one who created the universe, it doesn't matter what all these other people, you know, whether they think anything or not, the room full of people, we have the one that created the universe that has made us right. And He believes in us and He's affirmed us and He isn't looking at us going up or down. We just look at Him and say, God, in you, because of what you did, and because you're in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go and walk this plan that you have for me. When you're conscious of the fact that that one is in us, is in you, and walks with you, and that He is not counting all this stuff, whether, you know, you're doing everything perfectly, but He has given you everything through that sacrifice, and that He actually walks with us, changes our whole perspective. That's how we're supposed to walk around as Christians in this earth, is with that consciousness that we carry Him. Not that we have a belief system that, well, let's see if I can draw something from Him, or, you know, how good am I being, or am I really, you know, how are my skills and abilities in this situation, or trying to get people to look at us, or how well we can eloquently share the gospel, or any of that. It's to get people to look at Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't fluctuate. And if we get it over to ourselves and to each other that it's Christ in you, that it's Jesus, it's all about Him, that when He comes on the scene, He's perfect. That when He comes on the scene, He's limitless. When He comes on the scene, He has no limit to His resources. He's the one that's the Savior. He's the one whom we preach. Turn over to Acts. Acts 3. We've done this, you know, said this story before. We'll go through it really quick. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John used to sing songs about this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He said, "Don't look at me. I don't have anything. But I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This happened, and it still happens. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given us this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Do you notice what the people did? Came to them. Oh, you have something. How did you do this? What'd they say? Don't look at us. We don't have anything. It's Jesus. Jesus. Peter, when that man came to them, they said, we don't have anything, but we'll give you what we do have. They knew Jesus. And the more we get aware of the fact that Christ, this Jesus, is in us today, I'll tell you what, this is so big on my heart. If we can just get a hold of it, not that we're not getting a hold of it, but this, if we walk in it, the more we walk in it, the more we believe that Christ in us, that we carry this same power in us. As we walk on this earth, that we're so aware that it's Jesus in me. That when I'm going around, I'm just an extension of Jesus. Because you know that was the plan from the beginning. Christ walked as one person. Of course, he was God. But now we have Christ all over the world walking with his power. And we are led by his Spirit. And so God multiplied himself. So he has his Spirit. If he has people that are led by his Spirit, aware of his presence, aware of his power, all over the world, doing his works, going about with the answer that people need. It reminds me of that prophecy that Brother Hagin gave in 1977, 1988, wish I had, or 1977, 78, somewhere in there. I wish I had it in front of me. But it was the tramp, tramp, tramp one, and he was talking about people going out with the knowledge of what God could do. And it was so neat the way it was said. It was saying the knowledge, you know, of healing, the knowledge of help, of mercy. He said the message of God. It was great the way it was said, but it was the message of help, the message of hope, the message of wholeness, you know, of deliverance. And then he finally said the message of God. That is the message of God. And it is all summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we are carriers of that. That's the gospel. God, all these other things that we preach, they're fringe benefits that we are able to be healed and walk in divine health and walk in, you know, all our needs met and everything. But God came for the salvation of mankind. He came, he put his Spirit in us. His Spirit is in us and we have that power walking with us. And I'll tell you what, this is my heart for us as a group and for the vision. I told you, you know, a few weeks back that this scripture and another scripture in 2 Corinthians were just the part of the vision. If you want to say a vision, see, the vision for the church has already been set. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and this will happen. The vision of the church is not a new organization. People say, get a new vision for this new company. Well, company's new. The church was set about by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he set the vision for the church. We're not supposed to be all different. We're supposed to be going about doing the same thing that he told us to do. And we to get a vision for the church and what we're supposed to do, read Acts. He's already given us the vision. Not that we put certain things out, buildings and all that stuff. That's immaterial. I'll tell you what, we walk in this. We walk in what we've just read in Acts, and that we see that coming about. That's our vision. We want to do what Jesus did. We want to do what the disciples that were with him did. If we'll walk in that, I'll tell you what, there's nothing. I mean, you want to talk about things exploding, or people talk about marketing, or all that. It's all a substitute. That if we'll just walk in the reality of Christ in us, if we'll know that and be so aware of that when we walk around, that we have Christ in us. When I go to work, I'm aware that I have Christ, God Almighty, the answer for any problem, anything on the face of the earth. Nothing can stand up against the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his power. If I'm aware of that and I walk around with that, just like these guys did, we come up and say, You know, like they did to the lame man. I don't have that, but I have, you know, your answer. If we'll walk in that, I'm telling you, there is nothing. People talk about marketing and all this. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm saying, if we'll just walk in what we know, if we'll just walk in what is in the Bible, people will come running like they did there. It's not to build an organization. It's to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll walk in that and share that and get it real in our lives, just get it to where I walk in this. I'm aware of this. I know who I am in Christ. I know that God is my perfect sacrifice, and therefore all the benefits are mine, period. I don't care if I just blew it. Jesus is constant. My covenant is based on Him. That's a constant, straight line. Therefore, see, people had this revelation. I read a book called God's Generous. I'm just sharing this part, you know, sermon part, just sharing my heart. There's a book called God's Generals I read, and for a long time I said, how did this happen? Because you read these people, great men of God that did things. I mean, there's like 12 people. A.A. Allen, I don't think John G. Lake was in there. All these people throughout, mostly through the 20th century, early 20th century mid, these people that just shook the world for God. But you look at their personal lives, they're a wreck, most of them. They had things just, you look at them and go, oh my gosh, how did they have the Spirit of God moving in their life like that? We don't know everything. We know that they were anointed of God. But the thing is, one thing that really struck out at me, I believe it was A. Allen, because he had a real problem with alcohol till he died. And he got in a car wreck, and he had gone away from God and everything, but he got in a car wreck, and I can't remember the details. It was somebody related to him, was lying next to him, and was hurt. And he said, put my hand on just put my hand on him, on the person. I can't remember. Just on this loved one that was hurt, and they'll be healed. He was going to die. He had messed up. I think he had caught, I don't know if he died at that point or not. But the thing is, he had faith that he said, even though he had blown it and everything, he said, put my hand on them, they'll be healed. And they were. And all along in his life, even though his life was a complete wreck, he had faith because he knew, I believe, these people, they had an understanding that it wasn't them, it was Jesus. That goes against our religious minds. It goes against it. We want to say, well, if you're really holy, then you can have. I'm telling you what, the more conscious you are of Christ. See, that's a slippery slope, because when you think it's you, even if you think it's you when you're holy, then what happens when you have an off day? See, you have confidence as long as you're doing well. Your performance is doing well. But when it goes down, you're not confident. I'm telling you, Christ in us is a constant. Period. Jesus' sacrifice. Think about this. Your salvation doesn't fluctuate based on your performance. Most people in this would not say that. Are you going to hell today, or did anything change in your salvation or relationship with God today because of your performance? No. We've had that drilled into our heads. What do you tell somebody when you're telling them the gospel? They're saying all these things they've done, all these bad things they've done or whatever. What do you tell them? It doesn't matter. It's Jesus. It doesn't matter. It's but you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus. It's all His sacrifice. But then what do we do in our own lives when we're believing healing? Now, healing is part of the covenant. It was bought on the same cross. So if you think it's tied, if we think it's tied to our performance, it's part of the same package that our salvation came in. So if healing is fluctuating, then logically, you better be concerned about your eternal salvation. Because your eternal salvation, I'd rather get sick and die and go to heaven than be healthy my whole life and go to hell. It's much more important. But see, we just, because it's out there, we say, no, I know that. That's Jesus. I know I could never do anything to mess that up. But comes to something in our own life. We need something. We haven't done everything right. Do we have confidence to go to Him? If we know that Christ is in us and that His sacrifice is a constant, straight. That no matter what happens, it's because of Him. That's the new covenant. It's because of Jesus. It's not us. It's because of him. There is that his sacrifice did make a difference. Otherwise, we're under a system of works, and you get, if you do well, you get. If you don't, you don't. But no, it's Jesus. And then we can have boldness and confidence, just like Peter, who had denied Jesus. His performance wasn't perfect. Don't tell me that he just became perfect. He was a cussing sailor at the beginning, and it's 3 years later. Don't tell me he was walking in complete perfection. No, he wasn't. But he knew the risen Christ, and he said, he walked right up and said, I don't have anything. He knew that much, but I'll give you what I have. See, if we have that attitude, it takes us out of the picture. It puts all glory on him. And then when we're sharing Jesus with somebody, it's not like, well, gee, have I done all this stuff right? And boy, if I tell them about Jesus, I'm going to have to tell them all the things that you have to do. You know, what if I tell them that Jesus heals them, but then, my goodness, how am I going to tell them to get healed? Because, you know, you have to meditate in the scriptures for 3 years before you can ever get that realm. That's baloney. These people in the Bible didn't meditate. They didn't even have the New Testament. They heard it. They said, I believe that, and they got healed. It's the revelation that it's Christ, and I'm telling you, if we hear that with our hearts, that it's Jesus, that he did everything, that's the revelation we need. If we know that, and people can all, you know what faith is? Just believe in that. If you can believe that today, you have faith. See, we've almost, because, now that's how faith, that's what faith is just believing and seeing Jesus. If something's clouding that, that's when we go to the Bible and say, now, I don't understand something. I'm going to read that again. See, that's maybe building your faith. But the idea that we got to go back and read it and read it, and boy, the reason it's not working is because I just don't have faith. So I'll go back and read it, then I'll get faith. That's a lie. We're qualified, period, by the blood of Jesus. If we can believe that, it's ours. If we don't see it, we believe it until we see it. We believe it until we see it. We believe if something doesn't line up, we believe it. So we have God Almighty inside of us. We have him with us all the time. And the more we just get aware of Jesus, get aware of Christ, we'll see the results that the church saw. This is the plan. Jesus has not changed his vision. He's not changed his plan. He's not changed his methods of operation. And you know, frankly, what's happened is that everybody says they know this, but we've dumbed it down. Oh, if you had a conversation with a lot of people, they say, well, you know, oh, we know we're supposed to see that, but what are we really doing to grow the church or whatever? I'll tell you what, I am not going to let go of this. We are going to believe God, and the more we get in it, just that's real to us, we're going to see the same results. Period. We don't have to go out and sell out, you know. That doesn't mean you don't do things in the natural, but I think there's so many things that we've sold out in without we've sold out and said, if things don't work for us, if they wouldn't work for us in the middle of Africa or on the North Pole, then it's not really the gospel. So if we preach something, say, well, you know, yeah, but you got to do all these things to make that work. Well, would it work 2,000 years ago, like healing? Well, you know, you just got to go to the doctor in some areas. That's just wisdom. We're not against doctors. What if you're stranded on the North Pole? What do you believe then? If it becomes to where our belief system is just like, well, you know, you just have, you know I have Christ in me, but we don't really believe we have God Almighty on the inside of us. If we think the right answer, now if we say, that's not God's best, that's where I'm at, I'm going to go to the doctor, that's one thing. But if we say, you know, but that's just wisdom, that's what you should do and you shouldn't, you just don't mess with it, there's something wrong. Because if we believe Christ was in us, believed it, had fully convinced, fully persuaded that the power of the living God walks with me and there is nothing that can separate me from his resources because of the blood of Jesus, and we believe it, then we'll walk in that. And we'll walk the way the disciples walk. And we'll walk anything, just when you're in your life and you know you have something coming in your head, I mean, sometimes we just mix natural humanistic reasoning is crept in certain areas, and we don't we take it as because we heard it or we read it somewhere, and maybe it was a Christian or whatever. If it doesn't line up with saying, look, you take go 2,000 years ago or go somewhere where we don't have all the conveniences we have now. Would what I'm saying I believe work? If it doesn't work, then it's not the gospel, because the gospel's got to work for people all over the world. Everywhere. And so what we're preaching, this is not too good to be true. I mean, it seems too good to be true, but it's life. It's the real thing. We have, God has given us his word saying this is what happened. And he hasn't given us any other instructions since then to say it's changed. We can use things in the 21st century. We have, you know, screen doesn't make a hill of beans, you know what I mean? So you'll have video or screen, all that stuff. I tell you what, that's all just tools to augment. But if I'm telling you, we all know it in this room. If somebody got raised from the dead, or we saw the exact same thing happen, what Peter and John saw, you don't think those people would tell everybody that they know what happened? And when, in our own lives, we're walking in it. We just, you know, stuff does not stick to us because we know our authority, and we just say, no, it's Jesus. That's not going to stick to me. And we walk in this, and we share it with people, and they see it, and we share it simply the way the gospel. See, I don't know about you, but I grew up around the quote-unquote faith movement and everything. It became so hard at times that I'm like, I don't want to share my faith, because if I share it, I have to tell all these people all the instructions to make it work. I don't know how to make it work half the time. I don't want to tell anybody, because if I tell them, you know, God can heal them or something, but then I got to tell them they got to do all this and meditate and all this stuff to make it work. Well, you know why? The way we do that stuff is because we have to maybe unprogram our mind some, because something's derailing us. But the fact is, if we can receive it and just receive that what Jesus did and believe it, it's just, that's all it is. It's all faith is seeing that. And so I grew up thinking, this is hard. I mean, I don't want to share. I think sometimes in the faith movement, because we have this full revelation, then we put the pressure on us to walk in everything. And if we can't walk in it, well, if I can't do everything, why should I tell anybody else? Because then how am I going to get them to walk in it? So we don't tell anybody. But when we boil it down to the simplicity that I believe they preached it, we boil it down to the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus saves, he heals, he wants all your needs met, and he, all that power is available to us, unlimited resources now, today, right now. Not, well, I'll just get myself in place. No, just like if you were preaching salvation, you would say it's available now, today, just believe. Same thing, we believe it now. If we get it to that point, I'm telling you, it works for us. It works for the people we tell it, because we're not timid to tell them. We tell them, hey, God Almighty died for you. Anything that's wrong in your body, he's already died for that too. And he'll heal you right now if you'll believe it. And if they'll believe that and they see it and people start getting a hold of things, I'm telling you what, we all know that the same thing would happen. If you have people getting raised from the dead, or have people getting off a sick bed, or have people getting out of a wheelchair, people don't keep that stuff under their hat. People have a good experience at a car dealership, they tell everybody they know, let alone somebody that, I mean, you imagine your daughter, you imagine these stories, quote unquote, that these historical facts that we read in this Bible, if they happened to your next door neighbor, you went over, their 12-year-old daughter was on a deathbed, they're going to die, their daughter. I mean, all of us have kids. You imagine, they don't know. Their world is about to be turned completely upside down. They don't know what's going on. They're saying, my God, what is going on? My daughter could die. And you come in with the power of God and share that with them, and their daughter is raised up and completely fine. You don't think those parents would be so overcome with joy that they would run telling everybody they could what Jesus did for them? Same thing today. It was same thing what happened today. That's our vision. That's what we want to look towards. We want to see that happening. You know, I think people have been so, and not just to supernatural, you know, miracles, but just people trusting Jesus and being conscious of what he has done in our lives every day. Because we don't want to get sidetracked thinking, well, gosh, we just have to go and you know, have these huge miracles, quote unquote. I believe that's part of it. But when people realize, they get it, the message comes to where it is Jesus and his righteousness, and that means that is completely constant. Therefore, I can go to him all the time. And so that their perception of life goes, their peace is there. Calmness is there because we're aware that right in this situation, God hasn't left me. God is with me. Christ is with me. Anything I need is here. That this situation coming down the pipe. So many people. We just, you know, talked to somebody that lost their job just last week. That family's, you know, when you, that impacts a family. But when we know what Christ has done and that Jesus wants to take care of us and all that. You know, that when people get a hold of it, it is really impacting their lives. Same thing. What happened? Same thing happens. That's what we as a church, the church is tasked with spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. And it hasn't changed today. It hasn't changed at all from what these guys were expecting back here. It's the same God. It's the same power. It's the same message. And it's just an awareness of Christ in us, of God Almighty being in us, and the message that we can hook our faith to, believe, and the more we make it about him, the less we make it about us, the more we'll see the same things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but demonstration, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, that's every one of us in every part of our lives. That we don't come to people thinking it's all about our excellence of speech or our wisdom. He says that in verse 1, I came to you and did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anything, this is Paul, went through all kinds of stuff on this earth. But he said, I have determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I think so many times we think that's baby stuff. We don't say it like that. Well, I know that. Let's get past that. I want to know the really deep things. Show me the really, you know what I found? Yeah, there's much, we're never going to tap the depths of God. We're going to learn about God for eternity. On the other hand, I think sometimes when we try to make things, we want the really deep things, we're really gumming up our belief in the simple things. And when we make it simple is when we know what's going on. We know how to make it work. When we focus on Christ, now, all these things fall and come from Christ and because of knowing he's crucified. But that's not baby stuff. That's the critical key that everything else hinges on. It doesn't matter how much we think we know on top of that if our foundation is shaky. And there's no point in knowing anything else if we don't really know that. If we really don't know and really don't have it centered up completely of Christ and him crucified, which means I am right with him, which means anything I need in my life is already been purchased for me by him, every spiritual blessing, every need naturally, and that I walk in that and that the peace of God follows me because I am so aware of him in me and that when I go around, that's what I share. If we're centered up on that, the full thing that Jesus did, I mean, everything else. We'll get to know God more and more as we go through all the way till we step off into eternity. And for eternity in heaven, we're going to be learning about God. But I think sometimes we've had the air. Boy, you really can't live a victorious Christian life until you really know all these things. And boy, I just have to get in and get so deep in all this stuff and get this teaching and get that teaching and get this tape and get that tape. And then we get to where we're not effective to anything. We think we have to know. And you know what the devil will say? We just don't know enough yet. That's why you're facing out. You just don't know enough. You don't know this. You don't know that. If you really knew it, then you could help people. You don't know enough to really be used by God. It's baloney. That's just nuts. I mean, if we know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Apostle Paul, who changed the entire world, turned it upside down. So this is basically what I focus on. This is what he preached over and over. He went around preaching Christ. And really, everything's centered up on that. And so if we'll just center up on that and really know that, then everywhere that happens, the world does change. People are set free. Like I said, I mentioned a few weeks ago, that trip to the Philippines, that changed my life. You know, when I went to the Philippines several years ago, they speak English. They understand some English. It's a national language, but you know, you get out of the main towns like Manila and stuff, and people, there's a lot of different dialects, but then there's one central dialect called Tagalog, and so that's what they mostly will understand if they don't understand English, but they'll understand bits and pieces. So some of them will understand you. And when we went there and preached, but when we got out into the boonies, you'd say, I mean, you know, these islands and out in there, we'd speak through an interpreter. You're not going to get a ton out real detailed when you're going through an interpreter, when you're speaking to somebody. Basically, you're telling them what Jesus did, that it doesn't matter who they are, that Jesus died for all of them, and that anything they need is done in Jesus. And I'm telling you what, we saw stuff happen. And it just, a boldness comes to where you expect it. The next time you share something, they're going to get healed. If they'll grab onto it, they will get healed. They'll be saved, whatever. And that's what we saw. The simplicity of the gospel. And like I was saying, you know, the other week, that you get so aware of the fact that you are carrying the power of God in you. They look at you differently. And like I said, you're an American. And Filipinos aren't really tall people. And so, you know, you stand out anyway. And they respect Americans, they look at you a little different anyway, but you're walking down this thing, but you're carrying the power of God. You realize that these people don't have all these other places to turn to. They don't get to go to the doctor if they can't get medical help. I mean, not like they don't have any medical facilities there, but you get off on the islands and stuff, they don't have this state-of-the-art hospital that they can just go to if this doesn't work. They are looking at it as an answer. Their child is sick. They don't know what to do. And you realize that you're carrying the answer. You're aware of the fact. And it doesn't matter at that point who you are. They don't know my name. They don't know who I am. I'm only going to be there for 9 days. And because I'm only going to be there for 9 days, I really don't care what they think of me. So it just changes your world. You come in realizing you have this answer. You take yourself out of it and just focus on the answer. And people get results. Same results. And we just boil it down to this real answer. You know, a lot of things in people have, I think we've dumbed it down. We've made it about all other things, tried to just muddle the central message of just Jesus and what he has done, and that we really believe that message, and that it could happen now, and that everything is done in him. And then we get back to this, the simplicity, like Paul's saying, Christ crucified. Then you get back to where people can receive it. People can receive it with here. Do you realize people can get healed just listening to it when they realize it's just Jesus? See, faith is just believing Jesus. And if you realize that it's not you, and you're out of the picture. Jesus is a constant. Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like somebody said, I heard him say recently, there's nothing wrong with God. there's nothing wrong with you. Or no, let me say it this way. There is, see, we've heard this. I'll re-preach this. This, because this is exactly how I grew up. Tell me if you've heard this. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. So guess what? If you're not receiving, who's the problem? You. I don't know about you. I've heard that. What does that do to you? Where does your faith go? Where does your confidence go? Well, oh, I know, number one, there's nothing wrong with God. Okay, I believe His Word. There's nothing wrong with it. So, okay, it's me. Great. That'd give me a lot of confidence because I know there's umpteen different ways I could mess it up. But see, when you realize it's all Christ, it's all Him, that He died so that I didn't have to look at myself, that my eternal salvation is based on that. Anything I need is based on that. It's based on His consistency. Then you can say it this way. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. And by the blood of Jesus, there is nothing wrong with you. So receive whatever you need. Now, that's totally different. That's completely different. Because then my faith goes, you mean God has provided this? All I have to do is know, and Jesus did it all? See, isn't that what we do when we get saved? It's all Jesus? Well, everything else, it's all Him. It's all Christ. And if we know that He's in me, that everything I need has been done in Him, and that I can receive right now. See, that's what we were telling people when we were in the Philippines. If I lay my hands on you, see, Jesus has already died for you to be healed right now. If I lay my hands on you, you believe you'll be healed. We give them some of the gospel. Yes, I do. They got it. They got it because their faith is in the right thing. It's in Christ. We make the faith part so hard. Oh, I'm going to pull it. How do I do this? I got to get in faith. Well, maybe if it's not working, I'm out of faith. The only thing, faith is just not believing what I just said, that it's all Jesus. Thank God. So He says, I did not come with you excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So He's saying, I wasn't the perfect preacher. I didn't have all my ducks in a row, but I didn't preach with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And every one of us, our lives, if we don't walk, we may not have everything perfect in our lives. Not that we don't strive to have everything as well as we can, but it's not us that we're relying on. We're relying on the Spirit of the living God who lives inside of us, that when we show up and we're led by the Spirit of God, then we talk to somebody and God prompts us to do something. Do you realize it's God ministering to that person? We're just the vessel. He does not need us to be any certain way. We just have to be available. We just have to be willing. We just have to be led. Christ in us. It's as if Christ were there at that point. If we're being led by His Spirit, we're physically there, and He's telling us to do something. It's His power. It's His wisdom. He knows what's going on in that person. If we're just led, then it's the demonstration of the Spirit and in power. That's what changes people's lives. That's what will turn people around. In verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That our faith is not in us. It's not in our wisdom. It's not in our skill. It's not in our ability. It's not in our experience. It's in Christ. And when we hook up and realize that I am a carrier of Almighty God, I am walking around, God, what do you want me to do? And we have that attitude day in and day out. We are an extension, a hand, the hands and feet and eyes of Almighty God. We just be like, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And we get ourselves out of the way. We stop focusing on us and our shortcomings. Well, I don't know how to do that. It doesn't matter. He knows how to do it. It doesn't matter. You know, we think we're not qualified. He'd qualify us if He needs us to do it. He is
the focus. We walk around like that. Walk around just centered on Him. Number one, our performance will go up tons anyway. We don't have to worry about what we're doing and not doing, because our performance when we're focused on Christ will practically go up, because we'll be focused on Him and not our do's and don'ts, and we'll do better. But then we'll be an extension of Him, and the church will go forward, and our lives will be transformed. I mean, as the more focused we are on Christ, the more it transforms our life. The more life we experience, because we're focused on the life giver.